Today on the pastor study, we're going to see or look at three ways how the word come is used in relation to the believer. We're going to first look at the come in, that's the come in of salvation. Second, we'll look at the come out, that's the come out of separation. And then finally, point number three, we'll look at the come up, the come up of sanctification. First, let's look at the come in of salvation. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, as we begin our study here. Revelations chapter 3, in verse number 20. The Word of God says this: Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, here it is, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Amen. Here we have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, come in. Amen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I believe that door he's talking about is the door, amen, of every human being's heart. But see, the door on the outside doesn't have a doorknob. The doorknob is on the inside. And the person has to consciously open that door and allow Jesus Christ to come into their heart. He wants to come into every individual's heart. He wants to save them. It's the Lord's will that he doesn't want any to perish. Amen. He's not willing that any should perish, that none should die and go to hell, but all that all would come to repentance, that all would repent of their sins. Amen. And ask God for the forgiveness of their sins, and believing by faith in their heart that Jesus Christ died. He died for their sins, was buried, and arose again the third day. So the coming of salvation, Jesus is at the door. Amen. He's knocking at the door. He wants to come in. He wants to not only come in and save you, but he also wants to come and sup with you. He wants to fellowship. Amen. That's a term of fellowship. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your counselor. He wants to be your physician. He wants to be there. Whatever your need is, he wants to meet it. Amen. Then look at also in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, with me. John, chapter 10. My friend, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart today. Won't you let him in? Won't you be saved? Won't you be born again? Look at in the Gospel of John with me, would you please? Amen. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10 and verse 9, Jesus again is speaking. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Amen. Again, Jesus is saying, I am the door. Amen. As we read earlier, he's on the outside knocking, wanting to come in. And he says explicitly, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. The come in of salvation. See, salvation, amen, is not forced upon anyone. Jesus is waiting and ready to come into your heart. But you have to make the conscious decision to let him in. Unlike the Calvinists believe, yes, individuals can resist God's grace. Amen. How many are in hell today because they had an opportunity to be saved by the grace of God, but they resisted? Amen. What a sad thing, is it not, my friend? So there we've looked at number one, the coming of salvation. Number two, we want to see the come out of separation. The come out of separation. You know, that's not taught very much anymore in any of our churches, amen? Separation, amen. But the doctrine, it's a New Testament doctrine, amen? And it talks separation. Let's go first to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 14 and following. We read, the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, down to the end of the chapter, we read, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. See? Yoke, amen, means to be together with unbelievers. I believe that means in marriage, amen. A saved person should not marry an unsaved person. A saved person shouldn't fellowship, amen, with an unsaved person, amen. I'm not saying you can't say hello to someone and be friendly at someone at work, but as far as fellowship, amen, it says, again, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I believe a saved person should not be in business with an unsaved person because their heart's desires are different, amen. And it goes on, and Paul asks these questions, and of course the answer to them is none, amen. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Of course the answer is none. And what communion has light with darkness? Again, the answer is none. In what concord has Christ with Baal? Amen, the devil. What agreement? None. And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, with a non-believer? None. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? None. And he goes on to say, for ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, amen, as a result, come out. Because you're the temple of the living God, amen, and God dwells in you, and he's your God, and you're his, then as a result, he says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. Now, separation. Well, separation from what? Well, the obvious one, first of all, is from the world. That should be obvious. Amen. But you know what's interesting is many Christians struggle with that. They still haven't come out of the world. Amen. And you look at a lot of this so-called contemporary Christian music. It's not Christian music at all. It's worldly music. It's an attempt by Christians to stay in the world. Amen. And be Christians at the same time. You just cannot serve two masters. Amen. That's right. Jesus told us that. Notice what the Apostle John said about what's in the world. You probably already know where I'm going to in the scriptures. In the first epistle of John, chapter 2, and verses 15 through 17. John writes, love not the world. Amen. Not only love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So John tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the material things. Amen. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, again, that's serving two masters. You can't. Either you love God or you love the world. You can't love each equally, amen. And then he tells us what's in the world. For all that is in the world, he says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. All of these things, if you see that, the world is made up amen, of things, amen. If you, the advertising industry, that's all it is. It affects the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life to sell a product, amen. Then he says, the world passeth away in the lust thereof. All of these things, the world and everything and its appetites, amen, and its passions and its lust, they all pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's where I want to be. I don't know about you, but I want to abide forever. Amen. Now, James tells us, if you're a friend of the world, now look at, this is what he says. It's pretty harsh, but it's true. Amen. Look at in James chapter 4. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Again, you can't be God's friend and a friend of the world. If you're a friend of the world, then you're an enemy of God. The world is counter, amen, is an enmity of God, is an enemy of God, amen. So you, if you're a friend of the world, then you've committed spiritual adultery. You've stepped out on the Lord Jesus Christ, your espoused husband. Paul said he espoused the church as he wrote to the Corinthians, amen. He said you're espoused to Christ as a chaste virgin, amen. You're supposed to live as Christians as a chaste virgin would live, waiting for her wedding day, waiting for her bridegroom, amen, untouched. Now, see, many Christians are like Lot, are they not? Sitting. Where are they sitting? In the gate of Sodom. See, being among the unsaved will vex, it vex his soul and it'll vex your soul. If you want a fellowship with the unsaved, amen? In other words, being there in Sodom, sitting in the gate of Sodom, it troubled his soul. He had no peace. Amen. Because he knew he shouldn't be there. It was wrong. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. In fact, this is how we know that Lot was saved. It says, and delivered just Lot. See, just Lot. He was just. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Here was a man in turmoil. Amen. He knew he shouldn't be there. He shouldn't associate with these people. And he knew it was wrong. But still he did it. Many Christians still do. Amen. So we see come out of separation, obviously, from the world, but also from worldly or carnal Christians. See, many Christians have a struggle with this. You know, separation from worldly or carnal Christians. It's not often preached in our churches today, but it's in the Word of God, amen? And as preachers of the Word of God, we're to preach the whole counsel, amen? The favorite verse of Christians who don't believe in separation is, a friend loveth at all times. Yes, we're to love the person, but we're still to hate the sin, amen, that they're in. A person won't get right, then he's supposed to be treated as if he's a heathen or unsaved. We see that put out and stated in Matthew 18, which is a great passage on church discipline. Let's turn together to Matthew 18, if you would. Matthew 18. In Matthew 18, look with me, would you? Please see what it says. Matthew 18 and verse 15 through 17. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, this is what you do if he wrongs you, go and tell him. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. So if someone, brother, sister in Christ, does you wrong, you go to tell him. Tell him what they did wrong. Amen. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, if you go to them and you tell them that he wronged you or she wronged you, and they won't listen to you or have anything to do with you, then, if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Then take one or two other people with you and go to the person. And verse 17, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. If the two or three of you go to that person and he still won't get it right, then you go to the whole church and you tell them what's going on, what that person has done. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. If that person won't get right, you're to separate with them, amen. Have nothing to do with them, amen. Treat them as if they were unsaved. That's what the Word of God says. In fact, the Apostle Paul calls folks like this, Christians like this, enemies of the cross of Christ. You see, carnal or worldly Christians cause envying, strife, and divisions within the church. And this is the very problem that Paul addressed that was going on at the church of Corinth. Amen. Look at with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Word of God says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual." See, Paul says, "I could not speak unto you as mature or spiritual Christians, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He had to speak to them, even though they had been saved for a while, as newly saved, amen, newly saved Christians. He couldn't speak to them as if they had were spiritual and had matured in the things of the Lord and had grown. And he said, "I fed you with milk and not with meat." See, he couldn't speak to them, you know, about the deep things of the Word and the Scriptures, amen. He had to feed them like they were babies with the milk of the Word. "For hither you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." You couldn't take the meat of the Word, amen, the admonition, amen, the admonishment, amen. You couldn't take it there, you couldn't bear it there, and you still can't bear it. And he says the reason now in verse 3 is, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are you not carnal and walk as men?" As walk as unsaved people is what he's saying. That's how they were behaving. Paul exhorts the believer to separate from the carnal Christian in several of his epistles. Amen. For example, looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, we read, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or adulterer, idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an executioner, which such in one know not to eat." Amen. And of course the problem in Corinth was they had a man in the church that was committing fornication with his stepmother, his father's wife. And they weren't disciplining, they weren't correcting him, they weren't doing it. In fact, they were very puffed up about it. Amen. In fact, he said there, a railer is someone who rails on another person and scoffs and insults. An extortioner is someone who wresting anything from a person by force. And he's saying not to have to do with any man that is called a brother, amen, if they be a fornicator, if they be covetous or an idolater or a railer, a drunkard or an extortioner, have nothing to do with them. Don't sit down and eat with them, amen. Notice also with me, in Romans chapter 16. So it's not just one verse. It's found in all through Paul's epistles, amen, not to fellowship, amen, to separate from carnal Christians, amen. In Romans 16, book of Romans chapter 16 with me if you would. In Romans 16, in verses 17 and 18, Paul says, "Now I beseech you," he's begging them, he says, "I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions," amen, "and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." You know, call them out, separate from them, have nothing to do with them, amen, those that are causing division within the church and that are doing contrary to the word of God, amen. And he goes on, he says, "For they that are such," see, those that are causing division and offenses, "for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." These are the ones that come and do lovey-dovey and kissy-face with the new Christians, and, you know, they're new in the Lord, and they're simple, and they deceive them, amen, by these, you know, false words, amen. And then we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians with me, chapter 3, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse number 6, Paul writes, he says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the traditions which he received of us." To withdraw again, separate from those that walk disorderly, amen, not according to the word of God, amen. So, often a Christian, amen, believes he or she can change the worldly or carnal Christian for the better. But the Apostle Paul warns about this. Look with me in 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, notice what he says in verse 33. "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners." In other words, don't fool yourself. You're not going to change that person. You fellowship with that person for any period of time, amen, and you will be as backslidden as they are, amen. They're going to ruin you. You're not going to help them. They're going to ruin you. The last thing we want to look at is the come up of sanctification. The come up of sanctification. Look with me in Revelations chapter number 4 in verse 1. We read in Revelations 4:1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter." Here we have the come up hither. Amen. This is at the catching away or the rapture of the church, the body of Christ. Each believer, amen, will be given a new glorified body. And at that time, where it says come up, at that time, the believer will have total sanctification, body, soul, and spirit. Because right now, our body hasn't been sanctified. It's still, the flesh is still sinful. It's not saved. But it's going to be taken up and brought into glory. The expression come up hither is used three times. Here, amen, in Revelations chapter 4, verse 1, in reference to the church, which is the future. This come up hither, this come up is in the future. And the church, of course, is made up of all those who have been born again from the day of Pentecost, that we read in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came down and permanently indwell believers until the rapture, the catching of the way of the church. Now, then we also see it in the Old Testament saints, which is in the past. We see it said to them in Proverbs chapter 25. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 25. We see the expression again in Proverbs 25 in verse number 7. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither. Amen. And of course, this is where the Old Testament saints go up. Amen. And this has already happened. Those who had been waiting in Abraham's bosom in the center of the earth. Amen. They had been waiting for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we see, let's look at a couple of places that talk about that. Or a couple of places, maybe three places in the scripture if we have time. First in Matthew 27. Amen. Matthew 27. Amen. In Matthew 27, beginning in verse 50, and Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So here we have the Old Testament saints going up at Christ at the resurrection. And of course, we see that in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 with me, we read in verse number 8, wherefore he, that's Christ, saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Amen. When an Old Testament saint died that was right with God, he went into Abraham's bosom. Amen. Remember in Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man died and went to Abraham. The rich man died and went to hell, lifted eyes in hell. The beggar went to Abraham's bosom. And of course, there was a gulf between them. So when Christ died, he went down into Abraham's bosom, took captivity captive, took him up to the third heaven. Amen. And of course, we're also told in 1 Peter, I want to see this very quickly before we go. I don't have time to really get into it. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 18 and 19, it says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which he also went and preached unto the spirits in prison. I believe he also went into that section of in the center of the earth, hell, and told them, you ain't seen nothing yet. You're going to come up at the great white throne judgment, and you're going to be cast into a lake of fire. And then finally we see the expression, come up hither, amen, in Revelations chapter 11. Revelations 11, in verse number 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And of course, this is the two witnesses. But here again, we have the tribulation saints going up with the two witnesses in the future. Amen. So here we have seen the come, the word come used in relations to the believer, the come in of salvation, the come out of separation, and the come up of sanctification. Are you ready, my friend, for the Lord to return? It's imminent. He could come at any time. Let me just give you one verse of scripture. That's all the time we have with, because we're running out quickly, running out of time. But notice what the Word of God says. The Lord's return is imminent. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Be ready and watch, the scripture says. Are you living for him? I hope you are, my dear friend. And if you're not saved, I pray you'd be saved today. Won't you come to Jesus? Like we said earlier, he's at the door of your heart. He wants to come in if you'll let him in. Amen. He'll come in. He'll save you. Amen. He'll have fellowship with you, and he'll meet your need, Lord. He'll get you through your trials and your troubles. Won't you believe that Christ died? He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Repent of your sins. Ask Jesus Christ to forgive you for your sins, and receive him by faith into your heart and be saved today. That's all the time we have on the Pastor's Study.